I know we normally have our prayer time before offering, and we prayed for Skip, but I'm feeling led to open it up right now. I think there's some prayer requests. Just got a feeling that we need to pray for. If you have a prayer request that you think we need to pray for, just go ahead and voice it out, and we'll pray. Go ahead and bow our head. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing that it is to be able to call your children. That we're a body of believers that desire to advance your kingdom, to lift your name, to be a light unto this area, Lord. We thank you that we are called to do that. Lord, you see Owen and Beth. You see today as they are saying goodbye to their current church, Lord, that there will be some sadness there, but there's also excitement and joy. There's also anxiety, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you calm his spirit as he starts this new job tomorrow with us. Lord, I pray for the believers here, this body that having a new person to come in that's going to be shepherding this flock. Lord, you see the works that you've already ordained for this church. Lord, I pray for the people here that are ministering, that are putting themselves in a position on the front lines, fighting spiritual battles, touching lives. Lord, I pray your spirit moves before us and prepares the way. Lord, I pray for Owen and his growth at this church with the works that you've ordained for him, for Beth, the ministries that she'll be taking on, for their children, Lord, as they'll be changing schools, getting new friends. Lord, I pray for the children and the teens here at this church, Lord, that they'll accept them with open arms as one of their own friends. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So wisdom. It's actually kind of funny. I just realized I spelled the first word of my sermon wrong on my notes. I spelled wisdom wrong, and I'm speaking on wisdom. That's good. Thanks, God, for showing me that. Is there anybody here who doesn't want to be wise? I'm going to kind of culturally put myself out there for a second. Who knows Victoria Jackson? Not one of the Jackson families. Blonde-haired Victoria Jackson from Saturday Night Live in the 80s and early 90s. She made a career of acting as stupid as she could act. That was her whole career. Every movie she did, every skit she did on Saturday Night Live, she was the dumb blonde. That's how she made money. Her whole stand-up routine was that. Other than that, I can't think of anybody who would want to be thought of as unwise. I mean, it's a silly question to even ask, right? I mean, who doesn't want to be considered smart? Who wants to be thought of as foolish? We all know foolish people, though, right? Don't answer that question out loud, please. Sitting in a church on Sunday morning, I know the first thing that would pop into my mind, somebody said wisdom and who wants to be wise, instantly my mind goes to Solomon, right? Probably most of you think of Solomon. Even in the outside of the church has the reputation as being the wisest person that ever lived, King Solomon. So we're going to go to some of Solomon's writings to learn about wisdom. So we're going to turn to Proverbs 9, starting in verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine, and she also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, come, eat my food, and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways, and you will live, and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will be rewarded. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. This chapter in Proverbs lists two fictitious people, wisdom and folly. We're going to take a quick look at this passage, and we're going to compare it to a New Testament passage and see what sort of understanding we can come up with as to what wisdom is and how to become wise. The passage we're going to look at in the New Testament is James chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So looking at these two passages, first thing we want to ask is, what is wisdom? James 3:13 says, who is wise among you, who is wise and understanding among you, let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Wisdom starts at the proper understanding of self and a proper understanding of God. See, that's what humility is. In James and Solomon, they are talking about humility being the start of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, and if you're wise, humility that comes from wisdom. If I could use a simple analogy that some of you are going to really understand, some of you might understand it, but thankfully for you guys, you've not had to experience it. But if you can imagine you're working on your car, let's say, for this example, that you're changing an alternator. And you have to loosen that one bolt, the tension bolt, so you can move the alternator, so you can get the belt off, so you can take the alternator out. Now, the alternator, let's say it's the original alternator in a car and it's been there for years, and that bolt is all but seized in place. And no matter what you do with that wrench, you're going to bust your knuckles. You're going to end up with bleeding knuckles. You're going to end up with bruised knuckles. Anybody that's done that, worked on an old car and had to do that, you know exactly, especially some of these Honda and Toyotas where you have this much room to get your hand in there. You know what that's like. In this analogy here, that bolt is folly. That bolt is strong-willed. That bolt wants to impose its will on the mechanic and its will on the wrench, as opposed to the wisdom of the mechanic and the wrench, which the wrench submits to the mechanic's will and does everything that it can to help the mechanic. That's wisdom. Submitting yourself to God, or in this analogy, the mechanic. See, that bolt is folly. That's the opposite of wisdom, folly. See, folly doesn't live with a proper understanding of self. For folly, wisdom starts with itself. And then it goes on to others. And then it goes on to God. I've talked numerous sermons that I've preached up here, classes that I've taught when I ran the youth. It was the key point of what I taught to the youth, is that Christianity, if you boil it down to its simplest understanding, Christianity is Christ-likeness. Putting yourself in the position of Christ and letting Christ live through you. If you don't understand anything about Christianity, understand that if you want to be a Christian, you do everything you can to be as Christ-like as you can. See, folly is the opposite of that. Ministry. Ministry revolves around self, if you're not wise. It's my ministry. I want to do the ministry the way I want to do it. I want to do the ministry that I want to do. The church, others, revolves around me. I want the church to do the things that I want the church to do. I want the preacher to preach the way that I want the preacher to preach. I want to sing the songs in the style that I want to sing the songs in. I don't want to sing new choruses. I want to sing old hymns. I don't want to sing old hymns. I want to sing the new songs that I'm hearing on the radio. Folly starts with what you want, not what's best and what God wants. It's impossible to properly worship God without a proper understanding and knowledge of the Holy One. Or as John 4 says, and John prayed that today, that we worship in spirit and in truth. You cannot worship properly without truth. See, the wisdom in the dictionary says that it's the knowledge of what is true or right coupled with judgment. So if you want to be wise, you base yourself in truth. You know, John 14, everybody knows John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the light. That's a statement of who Jesus is, and also the right judgment that he cast on us. That's the judgment of Christ-likeness. See, if we truly desire to be Christ-likeness or have godly wisdom, we will emulate him. A.W. Tozer had this to say: all God's acts are done in perfect wisdom, first for his own glory, and then for the highest good of the greatest number for the longest time. And all his acts are as pure as they are wise, and as good as they are wise and pure. Not only could his acts not be better done, a better way could not do them, way to do them could be imagined. An infinitely wise God must work in a manner not to be improved upon by finite creatures. O Lord, who manifold all thy works, in wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. See, that's the why we have wisdom. We must have wisdom. So we can worship in spirit and truth and emulate Christ. James 3, 17 and 18 says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Proverbs 9 and 7 and 8 says, whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. Also in 12 it says, if you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you will suffer alone. It amazes me in these both of these passages that signs of a life seeking godly wisdom in both passages stresses that it always leads to unity, always leads to good lives, being healthy trees that produce good fruits. But folly or non-godly wisdom leads to dissension. It leads to conflict in our own lives and in the life of the church. A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Alliance, had this to say about unity. Often we want people to pray for us and help us. But we always defeat our object when we look too much to them and lean upon them. The true secret of union is for both to look upon God. And in the act of looking past themselves to Him, they are unconsciously united. Another quote from A.B. Simpson talks about unity, and I didn't write it down, so I'm going to paraphrase it. 100 pianos tuned to the same note are automatically tuned to each other. You can think of that analogy in being attuned in emulating Jesus Christ. If everybody in this church emulated Jesus Christ, we would automatically be emulating each other. But how do we gain godly wisdom? Proverbs 19, 20 and 21 says, listen to advice and accept discipline. And at the end, you will be counted among the wise. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purposes that prevails. What sort of advice and discipline leads to wisdom, though? We see in Proverbs 9 that wisdom is calling for those who aren't looking for themselves, for answers, but are seeking. While folly is calling for those who are willing to accept whatever there is, whether it's truth or disorder. Or in James, the two distinctions is looking for truth from heaven or looking for answers in the earthly or the unspiritual or even the demonic. 2 Timothy 3:16, probably one of the most quoted scriptures in churches, and I'm going to add to that today. It tells us the purpose of Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. See, if we look at that 2 Timothy passage, it's very clear what sort of advice we should be looking for from other people. We should be looking for people to teach us. We should be looking for people to rebuke us when we're wrong. We should be looking for people to correct us and put us in the right path. We should be looking for people to train us in righteousness. If you know, real quick, this is something that was shared with me years ago, and I've shared it before, but the difference between righteousness and holiness, and what we're talking about is here seeking wisdom from other people. We already know we have to seek from God. but seeking it from other people here. Holiness is your relationship with God. Righteousness is your relationship with the body of believers. So we need seeking each other in training in our righteousness, in our relationships to each other. We have to get trained in that. We have to be looking for people that are wise. We have to be looking at Scripture, 2 Timothy says, for that wisdom. It cannot simply be a life lesson that we're looking to learn. It cannot be an earthly lesson that someone is teaching us, or unspiritual lessons that we're desiring for godly wisdom. We're going to get done a little early today. I know that's going to upset some of you. But so in conclusion, what is wisdom? Wisdom is rightly placing ourselves in relation to God and to others in spirit and in truth by humility. That's a lot of words and a lot of commas, so let me read that again. Wisdom is rightly placing ourselves in relation to God and to others in spirit and truth by humility. Why should we seek wisdom? Wisdom is the emulation of God in holiness and righteousness. And it is demonstrated in our Christ-likeness as evidenced by the good fruit that we show in our lives. How do we gain wisdom? Through advice and discipline based on biblical teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training that leads to righteousness sought from those who have rightly placed themselves in relationship to God and demonstrate Christ-likeness. Not earthliness, not unspiritualness, or not demonization. Scripture is clear that if you want to be wise, and I hope all of us want to be wise, I hope we don't want to live a life of the dumb blonde or the fool or the jester. Scripture is clear that if you want to be wise, you seek godly wisdom from others, and you seek godly wisdom in Scripture. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, that he left glory to come to earth, to live a life that we can emulate, to be a sacrifice for our folly, that we can forego that and have wisdom that you can impute upon us through him. We thank you that your spirit gives us wisdom, that your spirit gives us counsel. Lord, and I thank you for the church that you have set up in a fashion that it's there for teaching, it's there for rebuking and correcting, and for training. Lord, I pray for this church as we go forward. I pray for the leaders. I pray for the ministers in this church. I pray that each one of us here at this church has a burning desire in our heart to become as Christ-like as we can. Lord, that we strive to be a church that you would be proud of, that blesses you every day, that advances your kingdom and lifts your name in high in worship, in spirit, and in truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I don't know if the kids are done yet. I might give them a couple minutes, with the opportunity just to fellowship amongst yourselves. See people you don't normally see. See some of you tonight. Thanks, Tim.